the very beginning of the Me'ashalech to Parshas Baha'aloscha. The Pasuk says, V'yedabar Hashem al-Meshel emor, dabar el-harin v'amarte alav Baha'aloscha, asan neirois, el mul pnei ha-menoira ye'iru shivas ha-neirois. The seven candles should be kindled mul pnei ha-menoira. So Rashi explains, that means that the six that are three on one side, three on the other, Rashi says the three on the Mizrach, three on the Maariv, should all be bent toward, and they should be kindled on that side of the lamp that's closest to the Ner Ha'emtza'i, to the middle lamp, which is, of course, on the center Yerech of the Menorah. So the three here are toward the center, and the three on the other side similarly bend the opposite way toward the center. So the obvious question then is that, yes, there are shivas haneiros, but those that are bent mul pnei hamanaira are sheshes haneiros. The three and the three have to be toward the center.
Is the center in the center?
The center is automatically in the center. It need not be said that it is to be kindled mul pnei hamanaira. It is the pnei hamanaira. But that's the question. The question is, since it is the Pnei HaMenorah, it didn't have to be said. V'hinei, mashenichtav shivas haneirois, v'loi sheshes haneirois, ki kol haneirois hoyu mitzadidim klapei ner ha'emtzai. They were all mitzadidim, they were all, respectively, this side, you know, the Mizrach side, they were on as westerly as possible, and those on the west were on the easterly side of each lamp as much as possible. So therefore, the pasuk should say sheishas haneiros, not shivas. Ach, ha'inyan bazeh. What's being hinted at here is ki af b'mokaim shekavonas ha'adam l'shem shemayim. Though a person does a mitzvah l'shem shemayim, I do it because the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks me to do it, and that's the idea of bending toward the center ner ha'emtzoi, to come close to and do the Ratzayin HaBayrei. Still, Tzarech Lahavnu Lahaskil, you nevertheless have to try to understand and try to come to as much of the insight as possible. Eich Ya'aseh, how it should be done. Ve'eichu Ratzayin Hashem Yisbarach. V'zeh Shekosuv Shivas Haneiros. Because the three on the one side and the three on the other are to be toward the center, which is as if to say, toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, let's have kavana to do all of that which can be done with the various branches of wisdom. Remember, the kanim of the menorah represent various kinds of knowledge and branches of wisdom. All are dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's not enough. How are they dedicated? What is the Ritzayin HaBayrei in all things? In other words, taking it a step deeper, you have to flesh out for each of them, what is it that the Rabbeinu Shlalem wants? What can be achieved with this action, with this activity, with this understanding? And that's the center kana of the menorah. That's the yerech of the menorah. So it's not alone just that, oh, okay, I'm doing it l'shem shemayim. Why is it that that's the Ritzayin HaBayrei? What is it that is accomplished by me doing this mitzvah, that mitzvah, another mitzvah? We just came from Yom Tov Shavuos. What is it that the regular of Yom Tov Shavuos is all about? What is the point of Shtei Halachim? What is the point of bringing Bikurim, which are the mitzvahs that can begin at that time of year? All of this has to be fleshed out in each case. What is the Ritzayin HaBayrei? Why is this important to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Feel it. Once we begin to understand it, and then do it with that feeling in mind, with that understanding in mind. That's why it says, Shivas Haneiros. Ki ner ha-shivi'i hu neged kavano l'shem shemayim. That center of the menorah, by the way, the Torah very, very often makes it clear that the yerech, and that's why it's called ad yerecha, ad pircha, that the center of the menorah is unique and special. That where the Ner Tamid was, that is the very essence of something that's greater than the other six Knei HaMenorah. That is Shem Shemayim itself, but that means that you have to ponder it, strive to understand it. What is the Ritzayin HaBayri in all things? V'gam zoyis tzaruch lahata klapi shechina, haynu, sheyavin oimek Ritzayin Hashem Yisbarach. You should come to understand as much as possible the depth of the will of Hashem, the profundity of what Hashem wants, and why? Lehechan hu naita. Now he's about to say something fascinating. Later on in the parasha, at the very end, Miriam and Aaron speak against Moshe Rabbeinu. And it would seem as if it's just a terrible thing that they've done. Overtly, it seems to be. On the other hand, if they're criticizing Moshe Rabbeinu, it's because they want Moshe to be perfected. Right? They want Moshe to be the ultimate Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is indeed what happens. Because what happens as a result of what they say is that the Torah attests to Moshe Rabbeinu in ways that it never speaks of him before. That he's the un of Moed, that it is Pe El Pe Adaber Boy. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah itself for the first time, I speak with Moshe, we talk as if having a conversation person to person, one mouth to mouth communication. So what they unwittingly did, Aaron and Miriam brought about an express glorification, clarification, emphasization of how great Moshe was. That's not what they intended to do, but that's what happened. Which means that in the mistake or in the foolishness of what they did, lay some hope that it'll be a good thing, and from it indeed came a very good thing. From it came what the Torah tells us about Moshe, where it has never spoken this way, and maybe would not have, if not for what they provoked. Let's see it inside. V'zeh nisba'er b'seif ha-sedra she-nirsham chet al Moshe v'aron u'Miriam. V'zeh remez. This is the remez in the pasuk, very difficult pasuk in Koheles, beginning of the 10th parak. Zavuve maves yav ish yabia shemen rakeach. That's how the pasuk begins. That a dead fly in the ointment and all of that which we would have liked to enjoy in the fragrance of this oil-based perfume is now negative. It all is repugnant because there's a dead fly in the ointment. Yeah. So too, the pasuk continues, Yakar mechachma mikavod sichlus ma'at. So too, this wonderful, holy person, a very chashiva person, a distinguished, accomplished individual, with great wisdom and deserving of great honor. But if he acts foolishly, maybe even just one grand but foolish act can ruin his entire reputation, his effectiveness is lost, and the covered and the cheshiva is gone. That's what the pasuk means, according to Mefarshim, Rashi, and Metsudis. But if you read the pasuk, what it seems to say literally is, Yakar mechachma mikavod sichlus ma'at. That more precious and more valuable than wisdom and honor is a little bit of foolishness. How can a little foolishness ever be good? Even if it's a little bit, it's foolishness. The literal expression here is Yakar mechachma. It is of greater value than wisdom and honor. Sichlus ma'at, a little foolishness. So he explains. Hainu. Shehuskam bedaitam sheyirsham chet aleihem b'kdei sheyushlam ritzayin Hashem Yisbarach. Moshe and Aaron, in striving to bring out the best in Moshe, and they make a mistake, but they are happy that this is all recorded in the Torah, including Miriam, who becomes a mitzora'as, but it's all worth it. Because it reveals what Hashem Yisbarach has to say about Moshe Rabbeinu. So they are maskim, meaning they are in agreement. Let our mistake happen. Let our mistake be recorded in the Torah. And then Moshe is aggrandized. And Moshe can be understood and appreciated, spoken about in the Torah the way he otherwise was never talked about. Kibazeh hasidra yotza lefoyel madregos Moshe Rabbeinu olav shalom. Here in the parasha, out comes the madregas, the levels to which Moshe Rabbeinu alone reached, and it's described so in the Torah. K'moshe yisbayar b'pasik peh el peh adab rabbi. V'huskim das Miriam v'aron sheyirshayim aleihem chet b'kdei sheyetzi l'or. They are maskim and they're okay. We made a mistake. It brings out, with Hashem pushing back against us, it brings out a defense of Moshe and therefore a revelation of how special and unique the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and how Avdi Moshe is so special. Well, it's all worth it, says Aaron and Miriam. So it was a sichlus, it was a foolishness, but from it came a tremendous accomplishment. That the madregas, the levels, the achievements of Moshe Rabbeinu should be so clear. And that's the parish of V'taher Libeinu Liov D'chob Emes. He says, V'tayr libeinu liov d'cha be'emes is an interesting expression, because why would you need to say be'emes? V'tayr libeinu liov d'cha. If you're doing it as an eved, you're pure of heart, you are doing it without any selfish interest at all. What's the be'emes? Ki af shenemar liov d'cha. U'be'im eina emes le'nikra avaydes Hashem. If there's no emes, if there's an ulterior motive to what you're doing, it's not like in true Eved. So what's the word emes coming to add? Ach, ki gam ba'avodas Hashem yimtza oimek, amoik, yoiser. In avodas Hashem, there's a depth deeper. Mehasagas ha'odim bedaitoi sheyasig bekavon ol Hashem Shemayim. Doing what you do, and doing it l'shem Shemayim, there is the possibility of accomplishing something you would never even think that you could accomplish. And that's Lo Avdecha Be'emes. Lo Avdecha Be'emes means to achieve an emes which you don't intend and you may not even realize until after you have done the mitzvah what you've achieved, if you ever do realize it. Like Aaron and Miriam, who meant well, but were mistaken the way they spoke about Moshe, but yet accomplished something so fantastic. That's what the Me'ash Leich is saying. And this relates back to that central kone, the Yerach of the Menorah, which represents the tremendous emphasis in everything that we do, that we say it's to be for Hashem. And now, what does that mean? Why does Hashem want this? What does it accomplish? Why is it so good? Why is it so important? Why is it the Ritzayin HaBayrei? And exactly how does the Rabbeinu Shalom want it to be done? And why in that way? And doing that reveals and achieves so much more than just saying, I'm doing it L'Shem Shemayim. He continues in the vein with which he began about how the mistakes, the foolishness, can result in tremendous achievement. So he's taking the pasuk literally, and he's saying, because sometimes a small little amount of foolishness, a small mistake, but if somehow it was driven by good intention, it can bring out something fantastic. And that's what happened in the case of Aaron and Miriam, and that's what the pasuk means, that it's yokar mechachm umikavoid. This little bit of sichlus, this little foolishness. Ach, but he says, ach nemar sichlus ma'at. Just a little. Shetzarech ha'adam lirois lema'it shalei yetzi lefoil rak dover mu'at mechasreinai. In other words, if you have a little bit of abandon, if you're not super careful, and therefore something's imperfect, and yet by and by, with or along with that imperfection, something wonderful happens, don't push it too far. Don't push it too far. You still have to be ma'id, meaning you have to minimize those errors minimize those errors. It should be that which happens really accidentally, but not intentionally. But he's basically implying that the power of the Kavana L'Tayv, the power of the Kavana L'Shem Shamayim, is able to cause good things to happen, not just in spite of the mistake, but through the mistake. People make mistakes. And people in their Avodas Hashem, they make mistakes. But if the Shem Shamayim is so powerful, if that engine that's pushing them to act, including to act with some imperfection, but if it's so with Shem Shamayim that it's so powerful, then even that which is almost an imperceptible mistake will turn out to be a source of something very good. So Miriam and Aaron, apparently they had good intentions. Yet it was a mistake, criticizing the Isha HaKushis HaShalakach. But from that mistake comes out something which aggrandizes and something which brings out who and what Moshe Rabbeinu was, which otherwise would not have been made so clear and not attested to the way it is by the Torah as a result of what they did. Let's see.
What's the message to us?
His the Meishilat's message, or the message when the Torah.
No, message
to us is that the Shem, that being careful and being emphatic to know and understand everything we do and say l'shem shemayim. Exactly what it is that Hashem wants with this mitzvah. Make kiddush tomorrow night. What is the point of holding this becher and holding this wine and making kiddush and saying these words? What does it accomplish? Why is it the Ritzayin Habayre? What does it mean? And that, of course, is one mitzvah that we know a lot about, and there's a tremendous amount that we can learn and study up on. And then think about that, and then do the mitzvah that with that all in mind. That kavana is so powerful, and that kavana l'shem shemayim is able even sometimes to redeem something which is imperfect in how we are behaving, something imperfect in how we're doing the mitzvah. It redeems it and causes it to end up becoming a very good thing.
Rabbi, it seems that another point that he's making is that there's a concept of the independence of the Ratzon Hashem and Torah Mitzvos, meaning you have to be ma'achid these things, but these are two independent things. Which is why when you do Mitzvos, you have to connect it with the idea of the Ratzon Hashem, but also someone's not doing Torah Mitzvos, the concept of Ratzon Hashem could even supersede this lapse.
Yes, but what he's saying is that when we do our mitzvahs, and when we do things of a positive nature, we should emphasize the fact that it's Lashem Shemayim, but put flesh on the bones of that concept of Lashem Shemayim. Not just say, I'm doing it Lashem Shemayim, but flesh that out. To flesh that out with substance, with real substance and understanding of what we're doing and why. The next piece he says, Vayas Kain Aharon. Pirish Rashi Lahaget Shvachi Shel Aaron Shel Eshina. Vayas Kain Aaron. Aaron lit the menorah exactly as Hashem asked him to. So Rashi says, this is something you would expect of Aaron. So what is the pasuk trying to say? He did as Hashem asked him to. The point is, he did it exactly as Hashem asked him to. He was not in any way going to do it with the slightest change, with the slightest independent manner or habit or intimation of even the slightest bit of his hand one way or the other. It's exactly as Hashem wanted. But the Meir Shalach says a different interpretation of what Shaleshina means. Not that it wasn't done with any variation. Not that he didn't digress and do it differently from exactly how Hashem wanted. Shina pirish shalahaya etzle kedavar v'shainaboy. Shina from the word shiny. To be chayzer, to be shina, meaning to do it again. To do it a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Out of habit. Repetitively. Kedavar Vishainaba. Not like something you do again and again, repetitively, robotically, the same way as he did yesterday, I do today. No. He didn't do it. Sha'asa kedas haldam behergel. He didn't do it with out of habit and force of habit. Rak tamid haya oisa es ha-mitzvah kedavar chadosh. He did it with a sense of it being the first time he's ever madlik the menorah. You know, that's a tremendous accomplishment because, let's face it, the first night of Hanukkah, it's like, wow, Hanukkah. And we're madlik the neiris, we feel like Aaron HaKohen, we're madlik the neir on the menorah of Hanukkah. It's so exhilarating, and we do it with such vivaciousness and alive and excited. Second night, too, third night, fourth night. Eighth night also, because it's last night in the full menorah, but how about, you know, somewhere in the middle, like, okay, another night of Hanukkah, another hadlaka, so we can understand what it means and to, we can appreciate for Aaron to come each day to light the menorah, and it is as impactful to him, and it is as important to him, and it is done with the same excitement and the same urgency and the same sense of its importance as he lit it
first
for the first time. Kedavar chadash adam oisa b'simcha b'zvizus. V'zeh sh'ama b'gemara, he says, that's what the Gemara means when it says, chayiv adam letaher es atzmai b'rega. That a person, all of us, should try to be tahar for Yom Tov, so we can be oila regel, and bring karbonos chagiga and oila sri'iya. Sh'ne'amar, as it says in the pasuk, uveniv lasam lo'itigo. That of an animal that's an avela, that's dead, we shouldn't touch it because it will cause us to become tamei. We won't be able to come in to do our avoda. We won't be able to come in to do our karbanis in the mikdash. But a deeper understanding, says the Me'ah Shalach, is ki nevela meira al davar sheyotza me'ito hachayim. What is a nevela? A corpse, a carcass. Something that lost its life. V'chein hu ha'isa mitzvah b'lai simcha uzrizus. He says, if a person does a mitzvah sanashim limuda by habit, it's dead. It's lacking life. It's lacking chayim. It's a nevela. And what is the cause of that nevela? Hergel. Hergel. Habit. Habit. Now, regel, which is the name for a yomtev, and hergel, they have the same shayrish. So he is saying that the Gemara, when it says Chayav Adam L'Taris Atzmai Beregel, he is implying the Me'ah Shalach that the Gemara is a remez that a person has to be metar himself or herself from doing things by rote. Doing something by rote is doing something like an avela. It doesn't have life to it. We have to cleanse ourselves from that. It has tumah like a dead nevela. Rak kemitzvas anoshim ilimuda, if you're doing it without life, rather just by force of habit, doy meshein b'chaim. It's like something without life. It's a mitzvah without life. It's not. Yeah. Are you going to be given credit? Yeah, you didn't not do the mitzvah, but did you do the mitzvah the way you can, the way you are supposed to, the way you could have? V'lechein b'regel. Lefisha Hashem Yisbarach Mashpia Chaim LiYisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia Chaim and He provides new life, every regel, all of the regalim are infusions of new energy and new life through the mitzvahs and through the kiyum of the regel. Tzarech Adam Lekabel HaChaim B'Simcha, so we have to receive that opportunity to serve Hashem. We have to receive the new life that He's providing, the infusion of energy, the infusion of light that comes with Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So we have to receive it with simcha and with zrizus, with excitement, and not with hergel, because hergel is without life. And that's the remez of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where it says, L'tayris atzmai beregel, that we should be tahor and not have this concept of a mitzvah that's done, or the mitzvahs of the regel of the Yom Tov that are done by habit. And he means also all year round that we are supposed to be metaris atzmai beregel, to avoid hergel. Shenemar uvinivlasam loisigau. We're not supposed to have the mitzvahs. Jewish life is not supposed to be something that's lacking life. It's supposed to be alive and vivacious and exciting every time, even when it's something we do every day. So if we make brachos, if we daven, if we put on tefillin, we light Shabbos candles, we make kiddush. The mitzvahs we do again and again and again, they should be done with excitement, they should be done with a sense of anticipation and joy, and with thought. This relates to the first piece, with thought and kavanah l'shem shamayim, and thinking about what it is that we are about to accomplish, that infuses fresh new life into the mitzvah we're about to do, and that way it will be like we are doing it as Aaron lit the menorah. L'hagid shavachai shel Aaron shel Hashina. He did not just do it again and then another time, each time was as important to him and was therefore as great as an accomplishment as the time he lit the menorah for the first time.